Hello, this is Jim and Samantha. We pastor Abundant Life in Fort Worth, Texas, and this is a message from one of our services. We hope it inspires you, we hope it builds your faith, and we hope it helps you in your everyday life. Enjoy the message. Well, let's go in our Bible this morning to Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm excited about this particular series we're talking about because it's really following God's path for our life. God has a path, God has a plan for our life. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm thankful that I'm not left up to my devices to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing. But he gave us his word to guide us. He gave us the Spirit of God to guide us. Amen. He gave us spiritual leaders to give us direction as well. And so he fully took care of us. And, you know, one of the things about following God's path, and we're going to read this in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, but the word path, God just dropped that in my spirit, the word path, and following his path for our life. And, you know, I knew theologically God has a path for us, but I never really looked up the word path throughout the scriptures. And so I started to study, and I did a little search of the word path, and I found out that the word path is used quite frequently in the Bible. Matter of fact, the word path itself is used 28 times in the New King James. And if you just add a S and put pass on there, there's another 41 times, right? And so what I begin to see is that God's word, particularly in Psalms and Proverbs, talks a lot about the path that you take. And the reason that he talks about the path that you take is because the path that you take leads to a destination. And that destination can provide good things or can provide painful things. And so God wants us on the right path. And many times the Bible even talks about and uses that language, the right path, following his path. And so in Proverbs, one of the more familiar ones is Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. Notice this, and he shall direct your path. So one of the things that we can kind of rest in, I don't know about you, but if you ever had to make a decision sometimes and you're not really sure what to do, you can kind of be a little stressed. Well, we can trust and have confidence in the fact that if I go to the Father, if I trust him, if I acknowledge him and ask him for direction, notice what the Bible says, he shall direct your path. It didn't say he would think about it. It didn't say maybe. Didn't say he could possibly do it. He didn't say even if you were good enough. He said, if you trust in him with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, he will, shall. There's not a greater word of assertion you can use in the English language. Shall. And how many of you know God is not a man that he's going to lie? If he said it, he's going to do it, right? So when he said, I will direct your path, we don't have to worry about the God part. What we have to be concerned about is our part. Right? Which is the trusting part. Because sometimes that can be a challenge. Right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, all your ways, and he will direct your what? Paths. And then over in Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, you showed me the path of life. So if we just stop right there, God said he was going to direct us, direct our path, and now he's going to show us the path of life. And that's just a side note, but that's a good confession. Lord, show me your path. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your direction, right? Your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, it's interesting that he connects the fullness of joy and pleasures by being on the right path, right? Sometimes we get on the wrong path and we don't have so much of those things, right? And so we see that. Then Psalms 27, verse 11, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path. Lead me along the right path. Psalms 119, verse 35, New Living, Psalms 119, verse 35, it says, make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. You know, when you're a believer, you know, there can be things that entertain or gratify the flesh, but ultimately, you're not the happiest place you're going to be in life is when you're following God's plan for your life. even though you can have challenges, even though you can have situations that come up, when you know you're in the right place doing God's will and doing his purpose, you have a peace that passes understanding because I know I'm in the right place. And then Psalms 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So that lets me know that if I'm going to follow God's path, I cannot do it separate from God's word because his word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So in other words, the path is not going to be clear. It's going to be dark because it's God's word that gives light. So I know which direction to take. You know, if you've ever been in the country and you're trying to get somewhere and you're walking at night, right? Sometimes you have street lights you can see, but if you've ever been in there where it's pitch black, it's hard to tell which way to go, right? Well, God's word brings illumination. It brings light. It shows us the clear path. And I think one of the things that God wants to deposit into our spirit this morning is that we can trust him to direct our path. He'll show us the direction to go, the things that we need to do, right? But we have to trust in him and recognize that. And then over in Proverbs 4, verse 14, it says, do not enter the path of the wicked. Now, that introduces something else. There's a path that God has, and then there's a path that the wicked takes. Okay? Now, sometimes we think, well, I would never take the wicked path, right? Because we think of wicked as being somebody that does something vile. But actually, the word wicked means twisted. You think of wicker furniture. What is that? Twisted. Okay? So sometimes we can get twisted in our thinking and take the wrong path. Okay? So he says, do not enter the path of the twisted or the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. So there's a way that people walk that's not right. It's not according to God's word, not according to God's way. And that path leads to destruction, pain, problems. It may have temporary satisfaction, but it's going to have long-term consequences. Okay? Now, Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just. What does that mean? Somebody that's right with God. How do you get right with God? By accepting Christ. When I accept Christ, I become the righteousness of God in Christ, so therefore I'm just. Not because of what I did, but because of what he did. So the path of the just is like a shining light that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. That means as I'm following him and following his path, things are going to get brighter and better every day. That's the benefit of following with him, right? Following him. Proverbs 4:26 says, ponder the path of your feet. So in other words, make sure that you're on the right path. And the reason he says that is because there's a lot of paths that we can take in life. And he says, you need to make sure that you're heading in the right direction. Because one of the things is we can be heading in a certain direction and then all of a sudden get off. Probably the easiest way to illustrate this, but have you ever been trying to text on your phone and walk at the same time? If you're not careful, you're running. I remember one time I was trying to remember where I was at. I was out of town somewhere. And it was in a city. So I was walking down the pavement and I was trying to send a quick text and I'm just walking. And right before, you know, those big metal cables that hold up the, you know, phone poles, they go, you know, hold the pole and I don't know why, but they're right through the walking path. I was like this close from clocking myself in the head, but I wasn't watching my path because I was distracted. I was looking at something else instead of pondering my path. And sometimes Satan will try to get us distracted because he can bring something, knock us in the head if we get off the path, right? So we have to ponder. Ponder means to think about carefully before you make a decision. We talked about some of those things. And when we talk about his path, there's a couple of principles that we want to make sure that we understand. First of all, and I think that's clear from what we talked about so far, is the fact that God has a path for us. And he talks about the right path. He said his path. So it's clear that God has a path for us all individually.
Okay.
We have to recognize that. So it's going to be hard to take his path if we don't recognize he has one for us, right? But then secondly, God gives us a choice. He said, don't take the path of the wicked. Don't take the path of the evil, but choose my path. And so we pointed out in Joshua, and Moses said it too. He said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life, right? So God is telling us, I don't want you to experience pain. I don't want you to experience problems. I don't want things to go bad for you, but you have to choose my way. But God does not make us choose his way, right? He's not a dictator. He wants us to choose his way because we love him and we want to honor him, right? See, if somebody had a choice, that's not really love, if they don't have a choice, right? So he wants us, he says, look, I've prepared things for you. I've got a good path for your life. I've got a good plan that's going to get brighter and better every single day as you walk it. And there's always a faith trust element. So in other words, he said, if you take my path, he didn't say this, the moment that you start getting on the path, everything's going to be rosy. He said, as you stay on this path, it's going to get brighter and brighter. So I have to walk by faith and not by sight and trust the fact that if my God told me his path is going to be brighter and brighter, then his path is going to be brighter and brighter, right? Now, so God has a path for us. He wants us to choose that path, and we get to choose that path every day. And we said that part of his path, his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So every day I get to choose whether I'm going to take his path or my path. I get to choose. And I get to choose how I'm going to respond, right? It's like everything the Bible tells us, if I choose what the Bible says, then I'm choosing God's path. So for instance, when the Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, then I have an opportunity when somebody offends me, whether I'm going to choose God's path or not. I can choose another path and say, well, who's that crackhead think he is? Right? I can say, I can't believe that fool did that. Right? We can have thoughts that come through our minds. Right? So then I have a moment now, am I going to respond based on the word or am I going to respond based on my flesh and my feelings? Or how about when your wife or your husband offends you? Got quiet in here now. But am I going to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving, right? Or am I going to say, well, you're talking about what I done. Well, what about you? What you done? Right? See, the flesh has a tendency to defend itself. Right? We're thinking of fairness and justice. Right? And sometimes we don't even take responsibility for what we did. If you do, praise the Lord. I'm talking about myself. Now, Philippians 2:3 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourself. And do I practice that verse? So that means that if I'm going to practice that verse, I have to follow God's path. So am I kind to my family? Am I tenderhearted? Do I forgive? Am I selfish? All these questions indicate what path I'm taking. And let me say this too. You chose a path this morning when you got out of bed and came to church. But that's not the only designation of you taking the path. How are you living on Monday or Saturday night? Right? And what path am I choosing? Do I value people and see them and their worth in God's eyes? Do I look out for the needs of my family? Am I interested in the needs of the kingdom of God and other people or just myself, right? These are things that determine what path I'm going to take. And then, so God has a path for us. God gives us a choice, and God wants us to choose his path, right? He wants us to choose his path. And we get to do that every single day with a multitude of decisions. Every time we make a choice in alignment with God's word, we chose his path. Every time. I mean, you've chose God's path a multitude of times since you've been here already. When you came in and greeted one another, the Bible says, greet one another, encourage one another. We've prayed. The Bible says, pray for one another. We've entered prayer together, right? Pray, right? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So you've made multitude of choices to stay on God's path already this morning. So tell your neighbor, congratulations. All right? But how, again, we want to make sure we make the right choices on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, right? Now, let's move on and let's talk about this. So God has a path. He wants us to choose his path, right? His path is not always easy, but it brings the greatest impersonal fulfillment and the greatest level of favor and blessing. So can people be successful in this world without following God's path? Absolutely. Now, are they going to have problems? Of course. Are they going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? No, they're not. And you understand that just because we externally see somebody as being successful, we don't know the trauma, the problems, and the pain that they experience behind closed doors that nobody sees. You know, several years ago, they built the Embassy Suites Hotel in the city of Grapevine, and an heir to one of the beer companies, an heir, jumped off the top of it and killed himself. Now, this is a man, multimillionaire, heir to millions of dollars, but success did not help him. Okay. So we don't know the pain, the problem. Sometimes we see different things and we make assessments based on that when they're not accurate. We don't know the full picture. And I believe it was David one time. He says, you know, it seems like God, you're blessing the unjust. And he says, but then when I saw their end, I understood. Sometimes we see chapter 2, but we hadn't turned to chapter 15 yet. And we don't see the end of the story. But God says of our story that if we're on the right path, it's going to get brighter and brighter, right? So the path is not always easy, but it brings the greatest impersonal fulfillment and the greatest level of favor and blessing. God never promised us a problem-free life. He didn't. God never promised us a problem-free life, but he did promise us that we would be victorious. He said, nay, in all these things, you are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He said, in all these things, he always causes us to triumph. So he's called us to be a victor. He's called us to overcome. But that implies that we're going to have to overcome something. We'll have to be victorious over some challenge, right? So he never promised us a problem-free life, but he did promise us that we'd be victorious in life if we follow his path. He never promised us a test free life, but we can pass the test and have a testimony that came from the test. We can overcome the problem, right? And we can experience the promotion that came from passing the problem. You know, there's many, many biblical characters that you could talk about that they followed God's path. And if you carved out a moment in time, it would look like when they chose God's path, that wasn't the right decision. But again, we're seeing a chapter and not the end of the book, okay? A good example of that, one of the most common ones, is Joseph. Okay? Joseph, the Bible repeatedly says he was a good man. So he's lied about by his brothers. His own brothers sold him into slavery. How many of you know there's not a better definition than family dysfunction? If they sell you, it don't get much worse than that, right? And then they were going to try to kill him. And one of them said, no, we're not going to kill him. Let's sell him. Okay? definite problems. So he gets sold into slavery, right? Then he's in all this, the Bible portrays him as following the Lord despite the adversity. Come on, somebody. Now, that's important for us. Sometimes we want to serve the Lord when we're blessed in the city and blessed in the field, but how about when I got a challenge in the city and I got a challenge in the field? Can I serve him then? Because that's when the rubber meets the road. But Joseph, the Bible says he was sold into slavery. Then he went to Potiphar's house and was a servant in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife tried to sleep with him. He resisted. Stayed to the path that God has for him and said, how can I do this sin against my God? When nobody else would have known. But he chose God's path. And then as a result of choosing God's path, he was thrown in prison. Well, how many of you know a lot of people would have had some feelings about that? Well, Lord, you know, here I am. I did what you want. Now I find myself in the prison. But the Bible tells us that Joseph didn't do that. He didn't blame God. See, what we have to understand is that not every circumstance that we encounter is initiated by God. We do have an enemy that goes around trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But we have a God that will deliver us from situations if we trust him and don't blame him when we don't understand. And so he's in the prison, and the Bible says that it doesn't say anything negative that he did. He didn't complain. He didn't bemoan his situation. But the Bible says that he was a prosperous man. Wait a minute. He was prosperous in prison. And then he was promoted by the warden of the prison. Joseph was running the prison as a prisoner. Okay? So, but then God would not have made him a prosperous man in the prison if he wasn't following him on the right path. So he was following him. And then, you know, the king gets upset with the baker and the cupbearer, so he throws him into prison. And then Joseph interprets a dream and says, well, I got good news for you and not so good news for you. And so one gets killed and one gets restored. And he said, now, when you get restored, remember me. And he forgets him. Well, then he remembers when the king has a dream. So long story short, Joseph gets promoted, becomes second in command. God uses him to save many lives from the whole nation. And then he saves his own family. So this is pretty intense, but the people that tried to kill him and sold him into slavery, he saved. God can use you to bless your enemies. Amen. But he didn't complain. But see, what I'm saying to you is that following God's path is not always easy. It's not always smooth sailing. It wasn't for Joseph. There's other biblical characters that ran into situations, but it got brighter. It got much brighter. Not only did it get brighter, but God turned everything around for him. Right? I mean, his own brothers came back to him and his dream came to pass. Amen. Now, I did read a verse that said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Right? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Now, following God's path begins with recognizing the path. I have to recognize the path. I have to choose the path. And this is important. And I have to recognize that different paths will present themselves throughout my life. So in other words, just because I choose God's path once, Satan, the flesh, and other people will offer alternative paths throughout your life. And you have to make sure that you continue to stay on the right path. A good example of that was when Joseph was following the God's path. He was in Potiphar's house. He got presented with a different path when the wife says, sleep with me. That was after he'd been betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery. Now he's a servant in the house down the road. So he's fine. He was on the right path, but he got presented with another option. And so Satan, the flesh, and other people will present different paths along our life. So what am I saying to you? It's not enough just to start good. You got to finish good. And finishing means I got to choose his way every day. Amen? Now, following God's path begins by understanding that he loves you and he has a path that he wants you to take. Psalms 25, verse 4 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your path." That's a good prayer to pray. Lord, show me your way. Everybody say, "Show me your way, Lord. Teach me your path." Amen. Now, once I recognize that God has a path, then I have to choose to follow it. And then I have to recognize that there's going to be competing paths to take throughout my life. Think of the prodigal son. The prodigal son was in the father's house, but he chose a different path. Now, this is another great truth. Even when you're on the right path and you choose the wrong one, God gives us a turnaround. Because the prodigal son was in the father's house, but he left and took another path that got him in trouble, but then he came back. He had humility opens the doors for repentance and restoration. Amen. Now, we can choose the path, our own path. There's other paths that are going to come up during our life. We can choose our own path. So there's God's path. We can choose our own path. We can choose the path of the spirit. We can choose the path of the flesh. We can choose the path of society. We can choose the path of family and friends. Now, thank God for good ones, but I don't know about you, but there's a couple of crazy ones in mine. And they can lead you in the wrong way if you're not careful, right? And there's a path of wisdom and there's a path of foolishness. Okay? Now, it's important to remember that we can recognize God's path and he wants us to take that path. We have to choose it. But we have to be aware that throughout our life, the enemy, the flesh, and other people will try to get us off the path. And there's lots of opportunities to get off God's path and take the wrong one. And, you know, just giving you just a quick little biblical tour. Well, let me say it like this. There was a college professor named Robert Clinton. And so he did a study of the leaders in the Bible. And so it was about 100, there's thousands of leaders, but he did a cross-section, spiritual leaders, political leaders, business leaders. But there's about 100 leaders that we have a lot of information on. There's a lot more leaders than that, but we don't have a lot of information. We just know certain things. But there's about 100 that we know a lot about. So he dissected those leaders and he put them into different categories, people that started well, people that finished well, people that were cut off early, and then people that finished poorly, okay? So really, when you think about it, if you start well, right, then something happens and we don't know how you're going to finish, okay? A good example of that is John the Baptist. John the Baptist started well, right? I mean, he's calling people to repentance, tells them to serve, you know, the Lord, but then he was beheaded. So he was cut off early, no pun intended, right? He was cut off early, but we don't know how he would have finished because he didn't live out his life, okay? Then you got people that started well and they finished well. Then you got a lot of people that started well but didn't end well, okay? Why didn't they end well? Because they got off the path. That's what I'm telling you this morning is we're going to have lots of opportunity, even if we're on the right path. We have to make sure we stay on the right path. There's lots and lots of biblical examples of people that fall in this category. But first one that comes to mind is Saul. The Bible says that Saul was kingly. He was priestly. He did good things in the beginning. He prophesied, right? He was chosen by God, empowered by the Spirit of God. He was victorious in early battles. But instead of following God's path, he chose disobedience. He became prideful. He let his position and influence go to his head. And the Bible says, pride comes before a fall. And so he let arrogance affect him. And he intruded into the office of the priest. He was supposed to wait for Samuel to sacrifice, and he did what the priest was supposed to do. And Samuel confronted him. And one of the things that Samuel said to the king, now, I don't know about you, but I appreciate a prophet that can look the king in the face and tell him what's going on. But Samuel was one of those individuals, by the way, that he started well and he finished good. Okay. But Saul, he was one of the ones that started well, but did not finish well. So Samuel confronted him and he says, why did you do this? You were supposed to do this and you didn't. And then he lied. He said, yes, I did. And Samuel said, no, you didn't. Why do I hear these sheep then if you did everything? And then he says these words that were imprinted for history. When you were little in your own eyes. In other words, arrogance now has defined you, and that will be your downfall. Right? And so we see him. He did not. And then he was jealous of David. He lied. He tried to kill David. And then probably just to cap it all off and put the cherry on top of the sundae, he goes and visits a witch because God is not talking to him. I mean, you know, you kind of descended when you gone from trying to hear from God to trying to visit a psychic and a medium and a witch, right? Which is forbidden in scripture, right? But you see how far he descended. This man that was once anointed by the Spirit of God, installed into the office, right? He descended. He did not end well. Solomon was another example. Solomon started great. He gained wisdom, made good decisions, built the temple, gave great offerings and sacrifices to the Lord. But instead of following God's plan and purpose, he married foreign wives. And the Bible says they turned his heart from serving God to start serving idols. And it took him down the wrong path, which is important. You know, if you're single, make sure you pick the right one. But Solomon, he didn't end well. Then you come over into the New Testament, there was a man named Demas. He's not a central New Testament figure, but you can read about him. And he was a companion and co-worker of the Apostle Paul. He was mentioned in the book of Colossians as being a co-worker with Paul. But then the Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, for Demas has Paul's writing, and this is near the end of his life. This was his last epistle. He was in prison when he wrote these words, and he said, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Now, it's important to recognize simply this fact, and that's all I'm pointing out with Demas, is that Demas was an associate companion and fellow minister with the Apostle Paul. So the premier ministry of that day, he's a part of. So he's following God's path. But then he gets off the path, abandons his call, abandons his role with the Apostle Paul. And then Paul says, Demas has forsaken me. But then he didn't just stop there, because it wasn't just a personal conflict. He left him because he chose another path. It says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. So he chose the path of the world. At some point, he's on God's path, and he looks up at the world's path and decides, I want to go that way. And so that causes him to abandon his call, abandon the Apostle Paul, and abort his purpose. So this was a man that was heading in the right direction. What I'm saying to you is we have to be alert to the fact that the enemy, people, society, they'll offer us different paths to take, but we have to choose the right path. And then the last thing I want to share with you this morning is that thank God for the goodness, compassion, and mercy of God. That even when we get off the right path, He allows us to get back on the right path. When I think about this, I think about, of course, many examples you could look at, but one, of course, the prodigal son. He was in the father's house, which implies that he was following God's will, his plan, his purpose. But then he got, you know, give me my inheritance. And then he said he spent on riotous living, went and did whatever he wanted to do, partying, carrying on. But then he came to himself. And the Bible says he came to himself and he went back to his father's house. And notice the father did not condemn him. The father did not reprimand him. The father was looking for him and waiting for his return. And that's exactly where God is for us, his heart of compassion. Even when we get off the wrong path, God is looking for us. He's stirring people up to pray for us that we don't even know, because he wants us back in relationship. I think about even as effective as one of the most powerful disciples, Peter. I mean, Peter, I mean, you walking on the water and raising people from the dead, that's pretty powerful. Getting up on the day of Pentecost and preaching and thousands of people getting saved. Well, Peter got off the path. When Jesus was crucified, we see a couple of different things with Peter. You know, first they're coming to arrest him, and what does he do? He pulls out a sword and tries to kill the servant of the high priest, chops off his ear. Right? And then Jesus rebukes him, reinstalls the ear. This is a side note, but never question whether God wants to heal you as a child of God, because if he'll heal his enemy, how much more does he want to heal you? So he put that ear back on at a person that was trying to arrest him, right? Well, Peter did that, and then he says, you're going to deny me three times. So he talked about it. He said, you know what, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. He was talking about what was coming. He said, Satan's desire to sift you as wheat, to separate. See, when you sift wheat, you separate it. So he said, he's trying to separate you from God. He's trying to give you a different path. But I've prayed for you that your faith does not fail, so you stay on the right path. See, even when we get off track, God has been praying for us and stirring up people to pray for us, because he knew to mess up before we even chose it. And so he knew what Peter was going to do. And he said, look, I pray for you that your faith fails not. And when you return, when you get back on the right path, strengthen the brethren. Well, then, you know what? When Jesus died and was crucified, of course, we saw he looked at him on the cross and he went out and wept bitterly. I believe he had a change of heart at that point. But I still think Peter was on the wrong path. Why do I think that? Well, Jesus had met Peter and he said, come, you're going to be a fisher of men. I'm going to transform you from being a fisher of fish to be a fisher of men. But when Jesus was crucified and buried, the Bible says that Peter returned to his profession. He went fishing. He told the other disciples, I'm going fishing. Now, wait. You're a disciple of Jesus. He sent you out to preach, to heal, to teach. And now you're going back to fishing. So he catches a fish. Well, then when you read the account, Jesus is on the shore. He says, y'all catch anything? Okay, put on this side, catch. So they come. And then one of them recognizes it's Jesus. He says, that's the Lord. So it's funny because the Bible says Peter put on his clothes. What kind of fishing was going on up in here? Right? I guess a bunch of men together, you know. So he put on his clothes and jumped in the water. And he swims over to Jesus, right? Recognizes the Lord. But in this, I want to point out this interchange, because it was not by accident or coincidental. Jesus, in talking to Peter, he says, Peter, do you love me? And then he says, feed my sheep. Now, what's interesting is he asked him again, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my lambs. He said, the third time, Peter being grieved, that he asked him the third time, he said, do you love me? He says, then feed my sheep. Now, what he said to him was this, I called you to fish for men. So get out of this water and go do what I called you to do, and get back on the path that God created you to do and fulfill to begin with. And Peter did. Peter got up on the day of Pentecost. Thousands of people got saved. He influenced a multitude of people for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he stayed on the right path. So even when we get off, we can get back home. Amen. Thanks for joining us. We encourage you to share this message with your family and friends. Please check us out on our website at abundantchurch.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.